Hello and welcome to Daily Info's Oxcast. We are your weekly guide to what to do and see in Oxfordshire this week coming up.
I'm Anne Higgins.
And I'm Alwyn Collinson. We are from the Daily Info team and we are going to talk about... What are we going to talk about first?
To start with, we are going to talk about an event that's on tonight, Wednesday 10th of July, at the Story Museum. An event called I Saw Wonder with Michael Rosen, who's a children's author and also a patron of the Story Museum.
Former children's laureate, I believe, isn't he?
Yes, and he does poetry and he does broadcasting as well, so you might see him through various different media. He's helping shape the museum's story collection, and they've held several talks, kind of relaxed talks, talking about different kinds of stories. So the other week there was one with Brian Aldiss, which was all about science fiction, and this week they're talking about Norse myths, Viking and Arthurian legends.
Lovely.
With Kevin Crossley Holland, who's an author who writes about those kind of things. And these kinds of stories get reinvented through games and books and films through kind of every generation. And the talks are to kind of talk about their appeal, and there's a Q&A, so you can ask questions and enter the discussion. And then eventually there's this series of talks about all these different topics. We'll kind of curate the stories which will go into the Story Museum, so you can contribute to, in a way, the future collection of the museum.
Do you think it'll be legendary, this event?
I think it will be legendary.
Good, so don't myth it.
You're so natural at puns.
Thank you. Yes, so I'm not sure that's actually a compliment, but nonetheless.
Oh, it definitely is. It definitely is. So go along tonight. They open from 5 p.m. The talk starts at 5:30, and there's book signing after. So bring along your Michael Rosen and Kevin Crossley Holland books.
Lovely. Well, I've got something also to do this evening. It's a great piece of music, which is on tonight at the O2 Academy on Cowley Road. It's Rising Stars, The Temperance Movement. Slightly confusingly named, but yes. I thought that for a few years now, band names have been running out, frankly. So we've kind of, I mean, already...
It's quite good on Twitter, though, because you can name your band whatever you want, because the more obscene it is, the less likely someone will really have it.
By obscene, do you mean obscure?
Obscene, you know, whatever you want to call it, but
it means
you can have, you know, your own at Twitter handle.
Yeah, exactly.
Then if you call yourself something which everyone's calling themselves.
Yes. Do you think the temperance movement had to fight with a kind of bunch of, you know, Puritan abolitionists to get their Twitter handle?
It's a bit too long anyway, though. You've got to have short and snappy band names on Twitter.
Social media tips from Anne Higgins. anyway, the temperance movement are a mix of rock and Americana, kind of very folky, Louisiana folk, blues sound.
Loud.
They are, that said, that makes them sound like they're kind of soulful, you know, kind of Cash-esque. No, they're definitely sort of raw, almost
rock and roll.
Yeah, exactly. Rock and roll. Almost slightly punky, actually. I actually really like their music. Check them out on YouTube, or for that matter, go along tonight. They're going to be on stage at the O2 at about 9 o'clock. And it's blues you can dance to, basically. This tour has been selling out right across the country. They're definitely on the up and up, but there are still tickets left for tonight. So try heading down tonight, O2 Academy.
If you want some music maybe a little less rock and roll, if you want something maybe a little bit prim and popper as well, I guess. Not that kind of popper. Head to Henley in South Oxfordshire this week. There's a Henley Festival.
Are you saying the Henley Festival will not be rock and roll?
I mean, I'd say it's mild rock and roll.
And there won't be poppers either. God.
There could be poppers.
I don't know about that.
But there will be, for sure, The Beach Boys, The Madness, Jamie Cullum and Paloma Faith.
It's a pretty amazing lineup.
It is an amazing lineup, but I also think they've spent all their money on the headline acts because none of the other acts are really very familiar.
Yeah.
But I think they're still of very good quality and very carefully selected. For example, Alexander Armstrong of Armstrong and Miller and the host of Pointless is singing along to a quartet. I don't think it's funny. I think it's actually meant to be good. So that's worth seeing.
Perhaps unintentionally funny.
it's funny just because it's him and you read about it and you just think, oh yes, I can see how that's going to work. But that's actually meant to be quality. There's also something interesting. The Shellac Sisters, who DJ on wind-up gramophones.
Oh my God.
That's pretty cool.
That's the name, because obviously the instruments are made out of shellac.
Voila. So never mind the music, though, as the highlight seems to be the fireworks spectacular, or as they call it, pyrotechnic assault, featuring the Pandemonium drummers, which were the volunteer drummers in the 2012 Olympic ceremony.
Fantastic.
Which was very memorable, with the Danny Ball Isles of Wonder kind of opening, so you can hear them and be assaulted by pyrotechnics from a distance in the sky. Looking beautiful.
Still, this doesn't sound appealing. I think they need to work on their marketing.
I think I need to work on my presentation. It's a Henley Festival is on from tonight till Sunday. They have a floating stage. That's quite novel.
Yeah.
I imagine there's lots of champagne. And there are some very, very good headline acts.
Absolutely. So there we go. Head along. Don't be put off by Henley's perhaps slightly staid image.
And let us know if you find some poppers.
We do not want to know about your drug habit, listeners. Unless you manage to score some... No. Moving on. Let's go to something really prim and proper. Pride and Prejudice.
That's prim and proper. No poppers there.
I can just see you trying to order something that's both obscure and proper and getting some obscene poppers.
Yes.
Anyway, it's Oxford's very own Oxford Theatre Guild. They've got a new production, which is on this summer, and it's a fresh adaptation of the Jane Austen classic. It's staged in the gardens of Trinity College. Really, you can't get much more prim and proper
very
than that.
Very timely as well, with the, I think it's 200 years since the book came out.
Yes, 200 years.
There's been lots of celebrations.
Absolutely.
So it's
and
topical.
I believe it's the 20th anniversary of the Oxford Theatre Guild putting on stagings.
Yeah,
so it's a really big double anniversary there. Absolutely. Well, our Daily Info reviewer Nick Daisley went along last night to get a bit of a sneak preview of Pride and Prejudice, and he was extremely complimentary. You can read his full review on dailyinfo.co.uk, but he said that the new adaptation is a very skillful one, and that the Oxford Theatre Guild have really captured the spirit of the novel in a really clever way. You can go and see it for yourself. It's on every day except Sundays at 8 p.m. until the 20th of July. Where else might you go this week?
Well, on North Parade, I don't know if you've ever been, it's a lovely little road off the Banbury Road, packed
I
with
know all
pubs
about
and
North
restaurants.
Parade.
And if you've never strolled down there, unlike Owen, then Thursday night is the night to check it out, because they're holding a North Parade night market.
Very
I
nice.
Think it's organised by the people who run the popular North Parade Farmers Market on weekends, which goes down very well. So you can have confidence it's going to be a very good night. It's from 7 till 10 this Thursday, and they're set to be music, lots and lots of stalls with everything from handmade crafts and jewellery to gifts and sweets and nibbles. And the restaurants and pubs will be open, and some shops on the street might also stay open.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice, small-scale, local street fair, and we very much recommend you pop along.
Absolutely. And it's just beautiful as well, the way they hang it with those sort of lovely lights and just a lovely summer's evening. Couldn't be a nicer way to spend your Thursday evening. You could, alternatively, head to another piece of outdoor classic theatre. God, Oxford really is bursting at the seams at the moment, isn't it?
Always yeah. In the summer.
A fantastic piece of Shakespeare, which is already kicked off in Oxford. It's the Globe Theatre, and they are putting on The Taming of the Shrew. Possibly the best Shakespeare company in the world.
Ooh, the RSC wouldn't take that well.
Yeah, fighting hard, I know.
If they are the two, I mean, if you can get better than Oxford Playhouse, Bodleian, and The Globe... That is a killer combination.
It is
some quality theatre.
A pretty vicious trio. As you've mentioned, it is outdoors in the courtyard of the Old Bodleian Library, which is just the most beautiful setting. The Globe do tend to come up here in the summer in partnership with the Playhouse. I saw the Midsummer Night's Dream, which they put on maybe a couple of years ago, and it is just a gorgeous staging. Like, they tend to put on, obviously, really lavish, really clever updates. This one is The Taming of the Shrew, so Shakespeare's classic. It's an all-female cast doing a play that is often described as a bit misogynistic at worst, definitely un-PC at best. And it's they describe it as an outrageous comedy, so it's clear which side of the fence they're going to. But it should be a great combination of location, cast, and company. That's on for the rest of this week and into next week as well.
To go towards the end of the week now, on Friday, there's a film screening at Pegasus Theatre in support of Body Politic. And Body Politic are a professional local dance company who host workshops and events with choreographers from across the UK and abroad.
So what film are they putting on to raise money for such
they
a fantastic project?
They are putting on the American family film Cool Runnings about the Jamaican bobsled team. So they're going for kind of feel-good...
Great classic.
Exactly. They're also going to be doing a dance presentation with the dancers, and they'll have their merchandise and goodies on sale.
I hope they're bobsled inspired. That would be a real shame if they've missed out
some
on
bobsled
a little...
moves yeah. in the dancing, yes. And you can find out where their regular classes are on our website, www.dailyinfo.co.uk. But this is a special fundraising event to raise funds for the companies so they can keep doing what they're doing and working with the best choreographers across the UK and internationally.
There
so all your money is going towards a good cause and support an important dance company to do what they do best.
How about something else? Something peaceful, relaxing. You could head along to Peace in the Park, which starts on this Friday and goes until Sunday. Now, this is billed as a festival of spirit. Now, it's not your usual hippie, relaxing festival. The focus is on a relaxing spiritual experience, and it's run by the Brahma Kumaris, who teach Raja Yoga. So it's a bit of yoga, a bit of kind of, a bit of a touch of spiritualism.
Meditation. Being mindful.
Yeah, absolutely. Mindfulness, good word. It's on at the Global Retreat Centre, which is in the lovely sprawling grounds of Newnham Park. So highlights are things like tea under the trees, meditation pavilions, and art in the wildflower meadow. It sounds so relaxing, I'm practically falling asleep just describing it.
It does sound really blissful.
Yes. Plus, of course, I'm sure there'll be lots of classes and you'll be able to be put in touch with your inner yogist. So if you fancy some peace and quiet and possibly yoga...
And tea.
It's on this... Sounds like just like a standard day in the Daily Info offices, doesn't it? Apart from the peace and quiet.
There is yoga, though.
It's on this Friday, Saturday and Sunday with a special peace concert on Friday night.
If you want to know any more about the events we've spoken about, they are all listed on our website, www.dailyinfo.co.uk, along with plenty of other events of things happening in and across Oxfordshire. There's also listings. You can find yourself a job. You can find yourself somewhere to live in. Mm-hmm. We've also got personal columns. You can buy things. You can sell things. You can read our guide and find out everything there is to know about Oxford.
I'll be honest. If you haven't got a job or a house, I might prioritise those over deciding what to do with your weekend. But hey, you're a free agent. If you're homeless and jobless and you have access to the internet in order to look at our website, maybe you just do want to head along to Peace in the Park, have a bit of a relax,
have a mindful think about what to do with your life.
Yeah, but whatever it is, it should involve www.dailyinfo.co.uk.
another festival happening this weekend is Oxford Festival of Nature. Not quite in the same vein as your kind of peace festival.
No wildflowers.
It's Friday and Saturday at Botley Park. It's all about activities and talks and stalls about wildlife and environmental groups and kind of learning about the environment we live in. Loads of the activities are already booking up, but you can still book into some talks about adorable hedgehogs or bumblebees, or you can learn how to charm a worm and find out about birds of prey. But even if you don't have time for the talks and activities, it's really worth passing through just to look at the stalls and find out more about the ton of conservation and environmental groups in Oxford. Did not realise how many there were, and probably learned a few facts about our environment and especially the kind of local Oxford environment and conservation situation. It's Friday evening from 6:30 to 10:30 and Saturday from 9 to 5. Yeah. So it does not expect for our said homeless and jobless person we spoke about earlier to be appearing at 9 a.m. on a Friday instead of going to a job.
We're really building up an attractive picture of you, hypothetical listener. Speaking of wildflowers and birds and conservation work, how about something about a field in England? Charming sounding title for a new film from up-and-coming director Ben Wheatley. He directed films like Kill List and Sightseers, which was the black comedy about serial killers on holiday. So as you might expect, A Field in England is a film. It's a little bit darker than the title might suggest. It's filmed entirely in black and white, and it's set during the English Civil War, which is a much underused historical period, if you ask me. Great time. So it's about a group of deserters who flee from a raging battle and are conscripted by a local alchemist to dig up a field, so where they eat some mushrooms and then have a magical and sinister experience. I won't going to talk anymore because it does sound interesting. You can see it on this week, on Friday or next Wednesday, which is the 17th of July, at the Phoenix Picture House. It's also, interestingly, one of the first films, possibly the first film in Britain ever, to be released simultaneously in the cinema, on DVD, on streaming, on demand, and also being shown on TV by Film 4. So
quite a few ways to watch it next week, then.
Yeah, it's a kind of blitz of simultaneous release.
An experiment, I guess, in film releasing.
Definitely an experiment. If you want to be part of said experiment, or just see a really good film from a definitely up-and-coming director, head along to the Phoenix Picture House this Friday or Wednesday.
Now moving on to the weekend. On Saturday, there's an irregular folk session. It's an occasional music night. I'd say regular, but they call it irregular folk, so it's definitely irregular, but it's frequent.
Most of the people I know who do folk are pretty irregular in one way or another.
It's not just folk music, though. It's kind of carefully selected different bands, often, again, up and coming. It's normally held at the Cellar, but for summer, irregular folk are moving to a more outdoorsy location, to the Perch in Binsey, where they have a kind of Bedouin tent set up. So the musicians perform and you've got cushions on the floor. It sounds lovely. There are three groups playing this Saturday, and they all three share the headline, because they're equally talented. There's the Maybirds, Wee Aeronauts, and Ballina Whalers. Mm-hmm. And I want to give a special mention to Sarah Hoyle, who designs the posters and is a local illustrator artist. Check out her website. I've definitely spent far too long looking around at day already. Really beautiful illustrations. She's recently had an exhibition in Truck Store as well.
Lovely.
And done some work there, so definitely one to keep an eye on. And so the music starts from 7:30 and go along for some harmonious and summery beautiful sounding bands for only £7 for three bands.
What more could you ask for?
Bargain. It's outdoors. It sounds really comfy. Do you have something else outdoors, perhaps, this weekend?
I do, as it happens. There's an extraordinary sounding night of martial music, which is on this Saturday at Blenheim Palace, another great outdoors location. It's a whole evening of war. You love war, don't you,
No,
Mace?
You love war, Alwyn.
I'm in a kind of weird love-hate relationship with war. But if you just love war, you should head along to Blenheim Palace this Saturday, because it is... at the Blenheim Battle Proms. They love war so much that there are going to be Napoleonic cavalry displays, there's going to be an evening gun salute, and a flyover from a vintage Spitfire. And the music will also be fighty. There is Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture. It's one of the few open-air concerts in the world to still use live cannon with real black powder explosions for the 1812 Overture. You
pretty
know this.
Old school. It's a massive event. It's held annually.
Absolutely.
And it's just, even if you're not that into war, it's a nice place to really just go for a picnic.
Yeah,
with
absolutely.
People who are into war, you can just tag along, bring a hamper. It's a lovely setting.
Really
you,
nice.
You know, hear some Tchaikovsky.
Yeah, and there'll also be Beethoven. There'll be his Battle Symphony, which also ends with cannons. 193 cannon salute from vintage cannons and fireworks. And then there'll also be traditional and jingoistic prom music with Jerusalem, Land of Hope and Glory, and a Rule Britannia sing-along. Okay, so having gone for all this explosive war, what might you do afterwards?
On Sunday, there is a very exciting double bill happening at the Ultimate Picture Palace. There's been the recent release of Before Midnight, which is the third part of Richard Lineker, Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy's romantic trilogy, and the UPP are treating fans to a double bill of the two earlier films. So the first film was a 1990s independent hit, which saw two young people, a French girl called Céline and an American guy called Jesse, meet on a train and spend a night exploring Vienna together. The second film sees them 9 years later in Paris, and that's all I'll say. The films are extremely talky, lots of long sequences where the characters just walk and talk, but that's what makes them so great, because they're really uncluttered and really intimate. So I cannot recommend them enough. They're not sappy romance. They're just really full of thought about relationships and behaviour and decision and self-fulfillment and so on. So Before Sunrise is on at 4:30 p.m. on Sunday. Before Sunset is on at 6:45 p.m. If you've seen them before, go and watch them again. And if you've not seen them, treat yourself. And then go and find somewhere to go see Before Midnight, the third instalment, and your life will be complete.
There we go. What more could you ask for?
And I'm not pushing this in any way.
You just want them to make the fourth part.
I'll be camping outside the night before.
Yeah. Look for someone in the little tent outside the UPP this weekend. Something else to do in Oxford this week, or indeed in future weeks, there's an exhibition on at the Bodleian Library. And we've got our colleague Emma Pearson, who went along earlier this week, to tell us more about it.
Yes, so it's the Bodleian Library summer exhibition, and it's called Magical Books from the Middle Ages to Middle Earth. Basically, so if you're the sort of person that when you open a fantasy book you spend ages staring at the map at the beginning,
that's me.
That's you. Yeah, it's me as well. Then you'll love this exhibition. It's really good. It's quite small because it's just in one of the little rooms off the quad of the Bodleian Library, and basically they've gathered stuff from the writers that are informally known as the Oxford Group. So that's C.S. Lewis, Tolkien, Susan Cooper, Alan Garner and Philip Pullman. And they've sort of distributed them around the room in themes. So you've got the you've got a case of magical creatures, and that's got all the different magical creatures from all the different books and some wonderful illustrations from Tolkien and various other people. I think there's a sketch of the Duffelpuds from C.S. Lewis.
Oh, wonderful.
It's good. Then like a maps case and a divination case and then a parallel worlds case. So you can sort of see all the similarities and differences between the different authors. And there are some sort of fantastic illustrations and illustrated pages from books. And also they've put alongside the more modern authors the ancient, well not ancient, the medieval sources that they might have used. So for example, there's a medieval script with Sir Degore. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, but that's, he was one of the Knights of the Round Table, and they think that's where C.S. Lewis might have got the name Diggory for the magician's nephew, and lots of other things, particularly magical creatures. You know, you always take them from medieval times. You can see this exhibition until October the 27th, so it's on all summer, and you can pop in. It's free and it's small enough that you can just sort of pop in as you're passing, and
so you have really no excuse not to go.
No excuse.
It sounds really interesting the way it's done thematically as well, rather than chronologically, because I thought when I heard about the from the Middle Ages to the recent, I thought it would just be done over time and how the writers and how the styles kind of developed, rather than the juxtaposition of the two. I think makes it sound much more appealing to look at it in that way.
It's good, like, if you sort of, you know, when you're comparing, like, fantasy worlds and things, it's that kind of thing where you can be like, oh, that's how they've done that one, and that's how they've done that one.
Sounds like I'll be getting my geek on. Anyway, thank you so much for talking to us about it.
So that was Emma talking to us about the Magical Books exhibition at the Bodleian, something to do maybe on a rainy day. But if there's more glorious sunshine, Alwyn, what can we do? Where can we go?
Well, I would say on a sunny day, just head to the beach. Of course, that might be easier said than done, given that Oxford is about as far from the sea as you can possibly get in what is, after all, a quite small island. But still, the beach has come to us. You can go to the Oxford Castle Quarter this week, or indeed any of the next few weeks until September, I believe, where an artificial beach has been built out of 23 tonnes of sand. Which is quite a lot, really. I don't know where
it takes a lot of sand, though. Very little tiny grains.
Yeah, it all adds up. How many grains in a ton of sand? I don't know. It features palm trees, a beach volleyball court, well, net, deck chairs, but unfortunately no ocean. Still, you can go and relax. You can enjoy some barbecue. You can enjoy cocktails and things from surrounding restaurants like the Big Bang. You can enjoy delicious ice cream, didn't you tell me?
Yes, G&D's have created some special flavours just for the Oxford Beach.
Such as?
I think there's pina colada flavour.
Oh, wow.
The cocktails have also all been specially designed for the Oxford Beach this summer.
Sounds amazing.
It's all new and exclusive.
They're also looking for volunteer teams for a French boule league. How would you call that?
Pétanque.
Isn't it funny how whenever you say a word to a French person that you think is in a perfectly acceptable French accent, they'll always repeat it in a kind of drawl that's indefinably French, yet you could never reproduce.
Just to put you in your place.
On the plage, for that matter.
Your place on the plage.
You see?
Under the palmier.
Anyway, so head along to the beach. Or alternatively, what might you see indoors, perhaps?
Well, in a similar vein, the Oxford Museum of Natural History is closing for summer. They're getting their roof refurbished, and so we can't go there. Quite in the same way we can't go to the beach. But as the Oxford Beach has come into town, the Museum of Natural History is also going to town. They've launched the Ghost Town campaign, where 12 exhibits have popped up all over Oxford. You might spot a Euteraptor at Blackwell's or a flamingo in the Oxford Library. I won't tell you the other locations because there is in fact a trail and you have to go around spotting the various specimens, and they've all been given a danger and a rarity score. And once you've found out the highest scores for danger and highest score for rarity, you can enter those into a competition on the Ghost Town website and win some prizes for next January.
Sounds very exciting. Although I must say, I'm a little disappointed that when you said a Euteraptor was going to be spotted in Blackwell's, that it wasn't a kind of Jurassic Park cloning-esque scenario.
Contain your imagination, Alwyn.
Still, fun things to see.
Exactly. So, spot the exhibits, follow the trail, and enter the competition. I, for one, am very excited to be encountering penguins and dodos in the city centre.
That's this week's Oxcast. If you'd like to see more, all of the events that we've mentioned, and many that we haven't, are on www.dailyinfo.co.uk. You can also go there to find jobs, houses, for your hypothetical houses or jobs need, things for sale, and you can do other things as well.
You can also connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook, search Daily Info Oxford. We've got a fan page and you can friend us. And we're on Twitter, @DailyInfoOxford.
Thank you, we'll see you next week.